Jason Weatherman. In Acts 22:16, who was to arise? Who was to be baptized? Who was to wash away his sins? And who was to call on the name of the Lord? Acts chapter 22, verse 16. And now thou carriest out, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This is out of the King James Version. You go to other translations, such as the American Standard or Revised Standard, they will say something to the effect of, get baptized. Get your sins washed away. I even make reference to F.F. Bruce and the Church of Christ, H. Leo Lowell, who both say it should be translated, get yourself baptized, get your sins washed away. Calling on his name means invoking the name, and thus he was baptized in the name of Jesus. I made an argument that baptized, wash, and call are all three in the middle voice. Baptized in the middle voice means get baptized. Who wants to get baptized? Paul, it's all Tarsus. Wash away your sins in the middle voice means get your sins washed away. Who wants to get his sins washed away? Paul, it's all Tarsus. Who was it that was? Therefore, calling on the name, let me restate that. Baptized in the middle voice means get baptized. Washed in the middle voice means get your sins washed away. Paul was to get baptized. He was to get his sins washed away. And therefore, calling in the middle voice when you're consistent means get his name called upon you. And just like I said, if it was Paul who was getting called on the name and getting baptized, that might be a little dangerous. He might drown and get some water in his mouth. So here it is one more time. A.T. Robertson, Mark Maron, page 808, to which he never referred. I refer to three scholars which agree with my position. Get yourself baptized. Get your sins washed away. Get his name called upon you. One more time runs up. James 2 and 7. It's the imperfect tense, not the aorist tense. The imperfect tense that make a habitual calling. I've got the chart right there. If anyone wants to look at it, I said the imperfect tense. I've got the notation. You can go to Harding College and look it up.
Being baptized. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the one being baptized, not the preacher. Acts 22:16, and now so Saul was called upon the name of the Lord. Saul was called upon the name of the Lord. Three interlinears, 18 translations, all say that. The middle voice does not say what he said. The middle voice says that a person acts with reference to himself. It's not the passive voice. He was to call upon the name of the Lord by being baptized. You compare it to Acts 2:21. You compare it to Romans 10:13. All of them are saying the one obeying the gospel is to call upon the name of the Lord. That's the same in Acts 22:16. It doesn't say anything about what the preacher is to say. It's talking about what the person being baptized is to do.
Okay, this question is from Mr. Donahue. James 2:7, your interpretation is Christian for the name of James 2:7. Would you really say that the definite article that and the word holy is referring to the word Christian?
27 is the imperfect tense, and you can prove it by the book. That's a little mixed up. The argument made by Jerry Hayes and Steve Hancock and the others is that it's not the imperfect tense, and if it was talking about creation.
You're out of order. You had your minute. Answer this question.
Time's home enough. I'm responding to what he said in the other question, which his question had nothing to do with James 2:7. He talked about
you had a minute to rebuttal. This is your question.
Yeah, I'm talking about James 2:7. Mr. Shield, why are we're trying to get the truth?
Give me
right?
2 minutes.
Are y'all scared of what I have to say?
You know very good well I'm not scared of you.
Then please. Okay. Then please let me say what I want to say. Don't you want to hear it? Let me start again. The argument made by Jerry Hayes and Steve Hancock, the other James, is that James 2:7 is not the imperfect tense because if it was talking about Christians, would be the imperfect tense. It's the aorist tense. But in Acts 11, verse 26, it's also the aorist tense, and it definitely is Christian there. Look in your Bibles. Acts 11, 26 is the aorist tense. James 2, verse 7 is the aorist tense. And the answer to the question, yes. In the word Christian, you have a name. And a thing can be a title and a name, and I believe that Christ is. In the word Christian, you have the name Christ. Every time somebody calls me a Christian, every time somebody calls Jason a Christian, they say the name Christ. And so, yes, that worthy name by which a person is called, that Christ fits that very well. Christ fits that very well. Now, remember this. Is there anything in all of the book, chapter of James chapter 2, is baptism even mentioned? He claims it proves his position. Yet you cannot find baptism mentioned anywhere in the whole chapter. Remember, it's the aorist tense, same as Acts 11:26. They were called Christians. Baptism is not mentioned anywhere in the whole chapter of James chapter 2. Now, I'm not affirming that it's Christian. I think it probably is. I don't affirm that. I affirm that. Oh, sure, because the text does not say. And he cannot know what it's talking about because the text does not say. Baptism is not even anywhere in the context.
Now he went over and he said if it was in the imperfect tense, it would be Christian. Everyone follows me. What do I have here? Believers had a name called upon them. The tense of the word called perfect and aorist. So the song took place at one particular time. This was not a habitual calling for, what's that word? Imperfect tense. He just got up there and said, well, if it was the imperfect tense, it would be Christian. That's exactly what I said. This is perfect tense and it's not the word Christian. He said, what does that even say? Well, I went through a diagram here. Believers had a name called upon him. What was the name? The Gentiles upon whom my name is called. This word upon. Thou art in English, the persons over which the name is something is done. Speak the name of Jesus over someone. Went down to Acts 22:16. Showed you what happened at baptism. Move it up. Amplified Bible says, is it not that you slander and blessed in the precious name by which you are distinguished called? The name of Christ invoked in baptism. He's never dealt with his brother who said, this name of the most surely, that of Christ pronounced upon us in baptism. I told you, this is not just my interpretation of James 2:7. It's amplified your book.
This question is for Jason. Do you believe that giving thanks requires invoking the name of Jesus, Colossians 2:17.
Everyone's heard Colossians 3:17, I believe it is. Mr. Donahue said, read it 5 times. Go home and read it 5 times. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he stops. But go home and read it 5 times, but giving thanks to God and the Father by Him is going to be there all 5 times. My position is this. Colossians 3:17 means when we have an opportunity to give thanks, and whatever we do in word or deed, we're going to give thanks by invoking the name of Jesus. Some guys, he said, well, he said, we said thank you, God. I didn't say thank you, God. I said, you need to thank God for your job. You do that by saying, thank you, Jesus. He said, well, he said Jesus after he changed his diaper. No, I was kind of being funny with that. He said, I said Jesus when I changed his diaper. You see how it is how he said something that I was supposed to have said when I didn't say it? Colossians 3:17. Giving thanks. Direct parallel to Ephesians 5:20, which says, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give thanks by invoking the name of Jesus. So, yes, I do believe that giving thanks in Colossians 3:17 refers to invoking the name. He's never dealt with parallel with 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean you go around praying all the time. This doesn't mean you go around saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. When the opportunity arises, when you give thanks, you say, thank you, Jesus.
Everybody compare Acts 2.38 to Colossians 3.17. Acts 2.38, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Colossians 3.17, whatever you do, do in the name of Jesus. Now, I tried to quote you the best I could on this, Jason. I messed up just a little bit. But he said what Colossians 3.17 means is whenever we have an opportunity to give thanks, we ought to do it. Whenever we have an opportunity to give thanks, we ought to do it. I believe we ought to give thanks. Colossians 3.17, we ought to do whatever we do in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we ought to also give thanks. I didn't ignore that phrase. It didn't change it. Now, according to him, in the name of the Lord Jesus means whenever you have an opportunity to give thanks, we ought to do it. That's what he said in the end of Colossians 3.17. Do it in the name of Jesus. Let's put that in Acts 2.38. Repent and be baptized, and whenever you do that, when you have an opportunity, give thanks. That when you're baptizing, if you have the opportunity, you ought to give thanks. Now, all I did was substitute your definition for in the name of the Lord Jesus from Colossians 3.17 and stick it in the same way in Acts 2.38. I did that, didn't I, Jacob? Why are you shaking your head? Shaking your head. That's your definition. Colossians 3.17. I stuck it in Acts 2.38.
This question passed on to you. Have you ever conducted or attended a silent baptism?
Yes.
You debated Brother Shields. Same question arises. Have you ever seen or performed a baptism in silence? You know what his answer was then? No. He looked right, I don't remember your brother-in-law's name, he looked right at his brother-in-law and said, have I? And I said, no, you ought to know. And I believe it was your sister. He said, well, did you thank him when he baptized my sister? And he said, yes. I said, I baptized you in the name of Jesus. So obviously, can sometimes since that debate, they performed a silent baptism. And I say that it's because we press the issue so much. Now, what is the difference? Do you accept missionary Baptists into your church without rebaptizing them? Would you? You know, the only difference is that you get them up here and baptize them and say for the remission of sin. I don't know if Mr. Great Star said Mr. Great Star told Evangelist Joe Hicks from our church the only assurance he had that his mother went to heaven was that she got baptized in the title of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost before John Shield got a hold of her and baptized her in Jesus' name. Do you know
this question is for Jason Weatherly. Do you know of a single scripture where it is recorded what the baptizer said?
Christ will remit your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We have shown you in the last hour or two that in the name does not mean by the authority, it means to call the name. Therefore, when you baptize in the name, you call the name. We showed you that by consistent use in the New Testament and the Old Testament. We showed you through that to the Greek scholars and the Hebrew scholars, to which it's not just in the Acts chapter 8, verse 16, for as of yet you have fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now listen, if this statement is only a statement of authority, it's perfect. Are we to believe that Paul was baptized in any other authority than the authority of Jesus? Acts chapter 19 and verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, it tells us how they were baptized. That word in English says it means that they were baptized with mention of the name. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, if there's not a name that you should invoke when you baptize, they could say, I don't really know. I didn't hear the baptizer say anything. Could be that I was baptized in the name of Paul. How would you distinguish baptism in the name of Paul from baptism in the name of Jesus, is probably what you say. How do you distinguish proselyte baptism to the Jewish faith from Christian baptism? because it wasn't saved. Acts 23:16, according to A.T. Robertson, Lord's Miracle, get away from it. So baptize, get your sins washed away, get his name called upon you. How much time am I going to have on Thursday?
One that was silent, I was thinking of my brother-in-law baptizing Joy. And so if I was incorrect, remembered it wrong, and Brent said last time 2 or 3 years ago that he did say that, then I was wrong when I said I was attended up a silent. If that's what I had in mind, I just remembered it wrong. Now, he said, quote, this is in the name means call the name in Acts 2:38. Well, look at Colossians 3:17. There it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name. So according to him, that means call the name. So whatever you do in word or deed, you have to call the name. And he admitted in the question that when you heal somebody, you don't have to call the name Jesus. It is not invoked orally every time. Now, is healing a word or deed? Is that a deed? Which one is it, Jason? Word or deed? It's under deed. Did you say that?
No, I said God does the healing. You're putting us in a position we're not in.
And hold my time.
Hold it. We do not take the position, and you're telling these dear people here, if you're going to represent what we say, we'll back it unto the death. We do not claim to heal. So therefore, we wouldn't say or not say anything when somebody heals. God does the healing. Healing takes place without his name because he doesn't.